I'd like to read just one verse in the book of Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, which, if you've got the same translation as I do, it's page 1439. Second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. And we'll start halfway through verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. Perhaps a strange choice of verse for a gospel message, a book that was written in Paul's last days to his protege Timothy, the one that he'd invested a lot of time in. And Timothy was somebody that needed Paul's support and prayers, and Paul's encouraging Timothy in this epistle to keep going and to carry on. But it's these first few verses here that I just want to concentrate on tonight. I know whom I have believed. When I was at high school, which seems a very long time ago, one of the most exciting days we had at high school was when we heard that the captain of Ipswich Town Football Club was going to come and visit the school, which is very exciting. This was a guy called Matt Holland, and he played for Ireland, and he also played for Ipswich Town. He was going to come and visit Northgate High School, that's the high school in Ipswich. And very exciting for all the people that are interested in football. And I remember speaking to one of my friends, and he seemed to know a lot about Matt Holland. He was like, "Oh yeah, no, we know him really well. You know, we're good friends with him." And he was able to tell me all sorts of things about Matt Holland. And I was very excited about this. I thought, you know, well, if he knows Matt Holland, maybe, you know, we can have maybe able to talk to him. He might be able to get me into a special VIP section with him if he really does know this guy. And the day came, and he arrived at the school in his posh car, and we were all lined up, all the people that were doing PE, GCSE, I think it was, we were all lined up on the field, and Matt Holland came along and shook everybody's hand. And I was standing next to my friend, and I was so excited because my friend was going to maybe stop Matt and say, "Oh, Matt, nice to see you again, and we might be able to have a bit of a conversation and get to know him." And Matt came down the line and shook everybody's hand. And then you got to my friend who was standing next to me, and I was like, "Oh, here we go, this is it." And he just shook his hand, and he moved on. And he shook my hand, and he moved on. And he moved on all the way down the line. And you know, it was in that moment that I think I realized that actually my friends didn't know Matt Holland. He just knew a lot about him. And I think that's important in the gospel, because not only did he only just know about Matt Holland, Matt Holland didn't know who he was either. And you know, when we're speaking about the gospel, and when we're looking at Paul here, "I know whom I have believed," Paul's not talking here about he knows a lot about who he has believed. He's not saying, "I know what I've believed." Paul is talking here, "I know whom I have believed. I know personally the person that I have entrusted my entire life to." And you know, dear friend, in the gospel tonight, it's not how much you know about Jesus or Christianity or the Bible or all these things. It comes down to whether you know him personally. There's those in the Bible, you know, it says, not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's lots of things that we can do here that look the part. We can come to church, and that's good. We can read our Bible, and that's great. And we can do all things that make us look like we're saved. But I want to ask you, dear friend, tonight, whether you actually know what it is to have your sins forgiven, to have that what we call personal link, that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you just know a lot about Jesus? Or do you know him personally? That passage in the Gospels, didn't we do all these things in your name? Didn't we do all these miracles? And the Lord says, he says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Because you know that's the thing as well in the gospel. You know Jesus, and Jesus knows you. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. I wonder, dear friend, whether you know the voice of the Lord and whether he knows you. Everybody that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, personally known by the Lord Jesus. I wonder whether your name is written down in that book, whether you know what it is to have your sins forgiven, whether you know what it is to have that burden of guilt completely removed, whether you know what it is to have your sins washed away in his precious blood, or whether you just know about these things. You've heard them perhaps week in, week out. Preacher after preacher has stood behind this desk and said the same things about how all have sinned, how all men have come short of the glory of God. And you've agreed to it. But I wonder whether you put yourself in that situation. I am a sinner. I have sinned. You know, you look at that parable that the Lord told in Luke. Those two men that went up to the temple to pray. He said, have mercy on me, the sinner. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. I wonder, dear friend, whether you put yourself in that situation and realize that you stand before a holy and a righteous God as a sinner. How important it is, you know, to realize your position before God. Yes, you can look around, compare yourself to everybody else. Yes, you might say you're better than some, perhaps worse than others, but everybody has sinned. Your heart tonight, dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, is a sinful heart that needs changing. But the good news in the gospel is that Jesus Christ can change your heart. Your heart that is desperately wicked and beyond knowing, God knows your heart. And God is able to change your heart and give you a new heart because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross at Calvary. That's the offer that's open tonight in the gospel. And perhaps you've listened here and people have stood behind this desk and you've heard also about the cross. You've heard about what happened on that cross 2,000 years ago. You've heard about how that perfect, sinless man was paraded down that road towards that hill called Calvary. You've heard about the nails. You've heard about the blood being shed. You've heard about him being lifted up between heaven and earth. You've heard all about it. You've heard about those words, it is finished. But I wonder whether you realize if it was done, that was done for you. That it was done on your behalf. That was the place that you should have had as a sinner before God. That should have been our punishment. But you know what the wonderful message of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ took the punishment that was befitting to me and bore it all in his own body on the tree, so that I can go free. I wonder whether that's your story as well, or whether that's just you reading a story in a book and you haven't put yourself in the place of the man, like many in this room, who have come to know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Saviour. How important it is, you know, not just to know about these things, but to know the person of whom all these things are encapsulated in. You know, the gospel is all about a person. As I said, Paul doesn't say, I know what I've believed. You know, you read Romans and you can read all about justification and redemption and salvation, all these wonderful truths that Paul brings out. But at the very center of all these things, the very personification, if you like, of all these things is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the gospel message is about. That's who you need to come into contact with tonight. That's who you need as your personal Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is able to deal with your guilt. He's the one that is able to deal with your sin. He's the one that is able to deal with all the things you've said and thought and done wrong in your past. He's able to wipe them clean. He's able to give you a brand new, fresh start and help you down here live a life for God. He's able to give you a hope that one day you'll see him face to face. He's able to give you the privilege of entering into the very presence of God to worship and praise him forever. It's all centered upon this person. And it's no good knowing about these things. That will not get you very far. You know, the hymn that we sung at the beginning, we speak of the Saviour's great name, we speak of salvation and love, we speak of the glory to come. But none of these things are going to profit unless you make them your own. How many times have you sat in a gospel message like this? How many times have you heard about these great matters, these great truths of salvation? and eternal life. And each time you've maybe nodded your head, but never once put your faith and trust in the person of whom all these things center around. You know, it's such a privilege, it's such a wonderful thing, that moment where you realize that your burden of guilt and sin is gone and gone forever. What a joy Christians should have to know that their sins will never be brought up again. And that can be you tonight. All those things that have been weighing you down, all those things that you have done and said and thought in the past, God is able to deal with them righteously tonight because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross. You can walk out of this room tonight knowing what it is to be free. You can walk out of this room tonight knowing what it is to be changed, to have a heart that is for God. We once were afar off, we've been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your heart tonight, friend? Is it far off? Or are you near to the God that has bought you and redeemed you? It's an important question. It's an important question because it relates to your heart. Nobody else knows your heart. The only two people in this room know where you stand before God. One of them is you, and the other one is God himself. There's no one else. We can fool our friends and our family and our relations. You can never fool God, and you can never fool yourself. And one day, you know, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether that is for Christians, a great day where we will be given the reward for the things that we've done down here. What a terrible day to stand before the great white throne in your sins, knowing that you have missed your opportunity. Well, tonight, dear friend, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity to put your faith and trust in him and all that he did on that cross, to know what it is to have your burden of guilt removed completely, to repentance towards God, it says, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is, you know, that cross, the message of that cross, and the resurrection. Oh, what a message the resurrection is, you know. What a core part of the gospel that is. Because we're not speaking about a Saviour that died on a cross, and that's the end of the story. We're talking about a Saviour that is risen, and is ascended, and seated at the Father's right hand, ready and willing and waiting to save all those that come to him. And tonight, dear friend, that message, that offer is open to you. What are you going to do? Walking out of this room again, heads nodding, what a good gospel, what a good message we hear. Maybe not tonight. But is that our character? That we just nod our head to these things? We give what we might call a mental assent to these things? Or do we know them personally and deeply as they are ours, they're mine? I know Jesus because he is mine and I am his. Well, you know, dear friend, that offer, as I said, open tonight. I know whom I have believed. Paul could say that. He could entrust everything, all that he had, to this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so can you. So can you. You know, there was a preacher in Basildon, who's long gone now, and he used to call Jesus, he said he was an all the way home Saviour. An all the way home Saviour. You know, it's not just about being saved in this one moment. What a wonderful thing that is. But, you know, he's an all the way home Saviour. He's somebody that never leaves you, never forsakes you. Somebody that shepherds you and guides you all the way home. Somebody that is there for you and sticks closer than a brother. You know, he's just the most marvelous person, the Lord Jesus. He's the most lovely person, and he loves you, and he wants you for his own, and he's done everything to secure you for blessing. When he hung on that cross and he said, "It is finished," that was it. He meant that. There was nothing else that we can do except come in faith and come in repentance. We can't add anything to that work on that cross. There's nothing we can do except here today in this room believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you can walk out of this room and you can say, "I know whom I have believed." Well, dear friends, may that be your motto, if you like, your ethos. I know whom I have believed. Paul could say it. Many in this room I know can say it. Many through history have hung on to that through difficult and tough times, I know you might have believed. He's an all-the-way-home Saviour. He can be your Saviour tonight. And I pray that he may be so. For his name's sake.
Amen.